Lutheran Radio presents Cross Encounters with Pastor John Ehlers.
As we read the Gospels, it becomes clear that during Jesus' earthly ministry, his immediately family members did not believe that he was the Messiah. In Mark chapter 3, verse 21, we read that his family came to seize him because they thought that he was, quote, out of his mind. In Mark chapter 6, the citizens of Nazareth cast several dispersions on Jesus, including his family. But Jesus responds, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." Chapter 6, verse 4. And in John chapter 7, Jesus' brothers chide him, saying, "Why don't you go down to the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem and display your mighty powers before the world?" And then John notes, "For not even his brothers believed in him." John 7, verse 5. It appears that this remained the case until Jesus' resurrection from the dead. For it is then that we hear of his brothers numbered among the believers in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. One of those half-brothers of Jesus was Judas, or Jude. And Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, was likely the same person who wrote the tiny epistle that bears his name, located at the tail end of the New Testament. He begins his letter not by standing on his privileged position as the half-brother of Jesus the Messiah, but instead he confesses that he is, quote, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. He is the brother of James, but slave of Jesus the Christ. What a statement to make about someone you once ridiculed. And the epistle of Jude is concerned about unbelievers and false teachers who have crept unnoticed into the church to pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and to deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5. And verse 8 describes them as defiling the flesh, rejecting authority, and blaspheming. He then compares them to three Old Testament characters to illustrate his point: Cain, Balaam, and Korah. In Genesis chapter 4, we read the account of Cain and his brother Abel. Both brothers brought their sacrifices before God. Cain brought an offering of grain, and Abel an offering from his flocks and livestock. God, who sees our hearts and knows our motives for worship, accepted Abel's, but rejected Cain's. Out of jealousy, Cain then murdered his brother. I suspect that Jude knew something about sibling rivalries and being jealous of one's brother. But Jude, the once jealous brother of Jesus, is now his slave. And he encourages all who live and work in the church not to be jealous of their brothers and sisters in Christ. We do not worship Christ to get ahead or gain power and prestige. Instead, all jealousy is banished, and we become slaves of Christ and servants of one another. In Numbers chapter 22 through 25, we hear the story of Balaam the prophet. Israel, under the command of Moses, is marching toward the promised land, defeating every enemy in their path. And the Moabites were next on Israel's list. So the king of Moab sent messengers to Balaam the prophet, offering him riches and great honor, if only he would pronounce a curse on Israel. But three times Balaam pronounced a blessing on Israel rather than a curse, because he said he could not curse what God had blessed. Unable to curse God's chosen people, yet still desiring the riches and the honor, Balaam offered advice to the king of Moab, which had disastrous consequences for Israel. The Moabites invited Israel to join in with them in their worship of their god Baal, including all of its fertility rites. Israel didn't need a second invitation. Blasphemy and sensuality were too tempting. Again, Jude probably knew something about the temptation of using one's privileged position to to attain honor and riches. Unfortunately, we see this happening in the church all too often today. We have allowed blasphemy and sensuality to creep into our midst at the expense of our spiritual lives. Our pockets may be lined with money, but we allow ourselves to be manipulated by government authorities who care nothing about the kingdom of God. In Numbers chapter 16, we hear about Korah, who led a rebellion against Moses, whom he accused of exalting himself above the assembly of God's people. He rejected the authority of God's prophet, and he desired to follow his own feelings rather than to follow God's word. And this, too, brought about disastrous consequences, because this was nothing short of blasphemy. Again, Jude knew something about doubting God's word made flesh. Jude knew what it was to taunt God's Messiah. But now, that ridiculing had been transformed into adoration and praise. The church is still plagued by those who reject the authority of Jesus, our Master and Lord. Many sit in judgment over Jesus in the Bible, placing their trust in themselves and their wisdom rather than in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude knew all too well the temptations troubling the church of his day and the church of ours. These temptations of jealousy, riches, and honor at the expense of the gospel and self-glorification are real and deadly and always troubling to the church. But Jude does not simply give up in despair. No, instead he encourages us to build up yourselves in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and remain with you always. Amen.
Love is in the air.
Christ is in the air.
Lutheran Radio UK.